should get an outline for the lesson this evening. The, Don put them on that stand in the back. Welcome to just go ahead and get up and go back there and get an outline. Or if you see someone without one, just share or look around. Titled the lesson this evening are Clouds with a Silver Lining. I need this lesson as much as you do, or maybe you don't, but Clouds with a Silver Lining, or Look on the Bright Side is another lesson. Sometimes I get down and out and something else gets heaped on and I just sometimes just sink lower. It's difficult to look for the proverbial silver lining when we're in trouble. It's a song that we sang back in my home congregation when I was a youngster, titled Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining. And the words of the song said, though the storm clouds rise about us, though the arc above us is dark, round the cloud or after the tempest, there is always heaven's mark. Second stanza. When the haze of ill surrounds us, when the heart is filled with fear, and the art of sin confounds us, there is help for souls sincere. Third stanza, the last one. There are nights of tears and sorrow. There are moments bleak and dim. Though the darkness shines the morrow, time will have its silver rim. In the chorus, every cloud has a silver lining. Every plight has a brighter hue. After night, a lovely morning. After storm, a calm anew. Every cloud has a silver lining. Every care has a blessing, too. If we look for the silver lining, when the lamp of God shines through. Another word we use for silver lining is in our books. I'm not going to sing the song, but you'll recognize it. The title of the song is There's a Rainbow in the Cloud. And that's kind of our lesson. But this song begins, as I journey here, mid the toil and tears, oh, there's a rainbow in the cloud. He will safely lead, I must have no fear. There's a rainbow in the cloud. Second stanza. When the way seems dark, the night grows long, well, there's a rainbow in the cloud. When my way grows drear, and no friend seems near, well, there's a rainbow in the cloud. Last stanza. When the storms all pass, comes a brighter day, there's a rainbow in the cloud. In that city fair, there's a crown to wear, there's a rainbow in the cloud. The chorus, there's a rainbow that is shining, there's a rainbow in the cloud. When life's race is run, the victory's won, there's a rainbow in the cloud. We understand the message that we have. I use the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning of verses 8 and 9. It said, we're troubled on every side. Yeah, oh, the rainbow or the silver lining. Oh, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, oh, but not in despair. Persecuted, oh, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why? If I focus just on my troubles, I think I just want to go hide in a cave and cry. But we have to read each side of this verse that's there. Now, we even have phrases in life, that slogans or mottos that try to that get us through. Someone said, you know, at the end of the there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The sun will shine tomorrow. I need it to shine today. I'm in trouble. Yeah, the darkest hour is just before the daylight. The San Diego Padres and the Chargers, there's always next season. I just do that one.
James, in the putting your notes, we'll just look at just a little bit about James chapter 1, very familiar text, verses 1 through 4. I'll read the text first. James, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials. Count it all joy. I usually count it all tragedy. Trouble. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, or the testing. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the first thing he says, and I've given you the definitions of almost each phrase in the verse, when he says, count it. It means, James is saying, when you're in trouble or struggles or hardships, stop and think about it. Give something some consideration. Deliberate. Focus. I'm like, look for the bright side. In other words, he wants us to ponder something. Count it, he says. Give it serious and careful thought. Have full awareness of what's happening. Count it. Then the next phrase is all joy. And if he stopped right there, I think we would be a little bit disheartened. But he says all joy. And I put in your notes, not in the sense of you'll be giddy or laugh or Pollyanna. It's not, oh, goody, goody, I have another hardship. That's not what he's saying. Count it all joy when you fall into these troubles. Don't say, oh, great, I've got another trouble. No, but understand there is a peace that passes understanding. There is some good that can come from this. As we said in these expressions, this too will pass. There is a silver lining. There is a rainbow. Well, that's what he's telling us. You know, in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulations, so we amen that. Then Jesus said, be of good cheer. Wait a minute, I'm in the world and in tribulations. You want me to be cheerful? Ah, but then he said, because I have overcome the world. The world is not going to win. He mentions various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into these various trials, the hardships of any sort, grief, struggles. You can add to that list. Then he says, knowing. Now we start getting to it. Knowing. Oh, something to learn. Something that we have to count or think about or ponder. Chew on a little bit. Knowing. It means, you know, James says, I want you to have confidence in something. I want you to comprehend. I want you to understand this. I want you to grasp it, perceive it. You know, all these words, you'll give us meaning or definition. I want you to have awareness. I want you to show some practical judgment. You'll know this. Have that confidence. You know, almost like, you know, if we worry about our health, but I know there are hospitals. There are medical staff and procedures. Oh, that's right. Heart attack is a trouble. You know, I have a flat tire. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. I have a spare. I just hope it's not flat. I haven't checked it in a while. You know, it could be. But I know there is a spare in the trunk. I have to go to work. Oh, but there's a paycheck at the end. I get to pay the bills. Or have a joy of some kind. Get to help someone else out. So know something, he says. Then the next phrase is, know this, that the trying or the testing of your faith. Oh, that's going to happen. That's in the verse, isn't it? Our faith will be tried. Our faith will be tested in life. Mm-hmm. And we experience these things that are up in that introductory verse. We've experienced trouble. We've experienced being perplexed and persecuted and cast down. We know that our faith is going to be put to the test. Wow, the trying of your faith. We know that we're going to be taken to the proving grounds. Yeah. We know that, that idea of a proving ground. When somebody builds something, now let's take it out and test it. Let's put it to the test and see if it can withstand the pressure or the things that we're going to send it through. Our faith experiences the same thing. But James says, I want you to count it all joy when your faith is tested and you were sent to the proving grounds, knowing that the trying of your faith, these proving grounds, works patience. Ah, that's the product, hopefully, of having our faith tried and tested. Can't eliminate trials of life. You can't do it. But however, in the midst of the trials, God gives us victory. That's that silver lining. That's that rainbow in our songs. There's joy in knowing that we've remained steadfast. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I think I put that at the very bottom, but Romans 8 verse 28, we know, and here's that word know again, we know, have that confidence that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I want to share a story. I'm going to wait until we've got to number 3, but next month, and I know I've shared this story before, but this story experienced in Christy and my life, there's so many silver linings in it. Next month will mark the 20th anniversary of the death of Christine's sister, Darlene, 20 years ago. She was 44 years old. The week before she went to have a angiogram, Christine and Darlene's dad, Daryl, over in Prescott area, had bypass surgery. And Christine and Darlene went over to visit with him or to help him get through the recovery time. And they didn't tell Daryl at the time that in another couple days, Darlene was going to have this angiogram, and because she had a heart problem, she was going to have a heart valve, if I remember right, replaced. So there was a silver lining, a rainbow in this, that Christine and Darlene got to see Daryl and Wilma the week before she had this angiogram. Well, she had the angiogram. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but at Scripps Hospital. But that afternoon, there were troubles. And her husband, Dave, called and said, the doctor said, call all the family in. Uh-oh. Well, there was a rainbow, silver lining. We wanted to go get Daryl and Wilma, but they couldn't fly because Daryl just had that open heart surgery a couple days earlier. But I called Jim at work. I said, Jim, would you go with me? We made arrangements with some people in the congregation in Prescott to bring Daryl and Wilma to Gila Bend, and I would go to Gila Bend and pick them up and drive them back here. And would you go with me? And he said, well, let me check. I'll walk down the hall, check with Mr. Cameron, the superintendent, and everything was okay. And he called Sharon, and Christine met up with Sharon. They went to the hospital, and I think within the hour, Jim and I were in our car heading over to Gila Bend in the middle of the afternoon. Well, we got there in a hurry. I think we were back by midnight, round trip, Gila Bend and back. So there was a, that way, so when we got to Gila Bend, Bill and Kathy Stewart had brought Daryl Wilman. We stopped in, got the gasoline, just pulled in the parking lot next door. Daryl Wilman got out of their car, got into our car, and we turned around. And we told them Darlene was having her surgery. So we told them to come get you. Daryl had to have extra medicine, so just the silver lining, the rainbow was that Christine's cousin is a doctor, at that time was a doctor in Phoenix, and so he was able to make some phone calls. Silver lining, a rainbow, to some doctors up in Prescott area to get travel medicine for Daryl because of his surgery. So we picked him up in Gila Bend, and we pulled back out of town, and there's a rest stop just a few miles this side of Gila Bend. This is before cell phones. This is 1999. So we, Jim and I, got out of the car and we made our phone call to the Bible. We have, Jim made it, and he talked to, I think, who it was, Christine or someone. And should we come to the hospital, bring him to the hospital or to the house? And Christine said, Darlene died. So we stood there for a few minutes. Okay. So the rainbow in this and the silver lining is that Jim and I are there to get back in the car and give Daryl and Wilma the news. We talked all the way over there, I think nonstop. It was just one experience after another about our childhood history and stuff, and congregations. But on the way back, there wasn't a word spoken. It was just silence. But we got in the car and told them, sat there for a few minutes, and then got back on the road. Jim offered to drive a little bit, but now it's dark coming back up over the mountains. It was foggy, and I know I got this, Jim. But I didn't have it. I was sleepy, weary. I thought you only see 3 feet in front of you, get behind a semi and follow that. And so about a little before midnight, I said, okay, Jim, you drive. So Jim was with me, so he did. It wasn't until about a week later he said, Brian, I was just as sleepy as you. My eyes were weary too. But we made it back. When Darlene was at the mortuary at Greenwood, her husband Dave was not going to have a viewing. It was going to be closed casket. Daryl wanted to see her. Oh, Daryl, it's going to be closed casket. Oh, but there's a rainbow, silver lining. I know somebody. Dennis Everett was a funeral director at Greenwood at the time. He said, there's no provisions for a viewing. They had the was that the right word? The cosmetology, is that what they do? The make her look nice, and there wasn't anything paid for that or whatever it was. And all the rooms were full, all the viewing rooms. Dennis said, well, let me see what I can do. So Dennis, I don't know how many markers he called in. I don't know how many people he had to pay or what all he did. But he found a room and he set up with cosmetology to make Darlene look good. And so Daryl and his brother and myself and Dennis, we arrived at the mortuary, and Dennis took us down this hall. Long hallway, down the end was a storage room about the size of a bedroom. There were boxes on one wall, but he had arranged to fit that casket in there, and then opened it up for Daryl to take a look at his daughter. And, a rainbow, you know, a silver lining. And then we had the funeral here in the building, and I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, I can do this. Well, people were gathered, and I was here and was sitting up front, and Terry McCormick came in, a good friend of mine at the time. The priest was preacher at Bostonia, and he came up and sat beside me, sitting by myself up there, getting waiting for the time to start. And he leans over and says, if you falter, I got this. I said, okay, I can count on you. Another rainbow, silver lining. It's interesting, then after the funeral, after several days, we're taking Daryl and Wilma back home to Prescott. We stopped in Yuma at a Burger King. It just so happened there was a parking space right by the sidewalk that went into the door, the entry door. So I pulled in, and you know, the wheels were cranked that way. And we were in just a few minutes, and someone came in, a stranger, said, who has the Mercury Villager with California plates out there? And, okay. And he said, come on, I'll show you something. And where the wheels were turned, the inside of the wheels were worn out so bad, the wires were showing through. I thought, wow, we just drove 85 miles an hour. You know, a week and a half earlier on that freeway, going over to Gila Bend. And wow, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. So I said, are you from Yuma? He says, yes. I said, well, do you know where the tire store is? So he showed me a Goodyear place, and they were about ready to close up, and they already had a full lot. Oh, man, is there another tire shop in town? Firestone gave me directions and pulled in there an hour before they closed, and they happened to have the tires we had in stock. I have a credit card. got the tires on. Now, away we went, safely, going down the road. Now, I did notice when we were driving over there, you know, about 75 or so miles per hour, it did shimmy a little bit, but when you got to 80, that shimmy went away. it smoothed right out. So that was another rainbow, silver lining. When it came time for Christine and I to come back home after taking Daryl Wilma home, then Christine's cousin, he couldn't make it over, but he made the trip up from Phoenix to visit Daryl. And so he stayed about an hour after we left. So, a lot of bright spots, rainbows. So many rainbows are, like I say, silver linings in that experience that we had. Everything that happened, a tragedy or hardship or struggle or tears, but there's a silver lining. So I put in your notes, even in death, there's a biblical bright side. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious, silver lining. The righteous have hope in death. Hope. To live is Christ, to die is gain. There's something to gain. If we depart, we're with Christ. With Christ. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Silver lining. Comfort one another with these words. Yeah, silver lining. And in John chapter 16, verse 33 again, Jesus said, these words have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We need to look on the bright side. Easier said than done, I know. I remember years and years ago when Audrey Wilson had cancer. She was in the hospital as Pam's mother. She was up at Sharp up on the hill there in Chula Vista, visiting with her a few days before she died. She's a very elegant woman. Always looked nice, retired school teacher, but just a very dear lady. So I walked into the room to visit with her, and he said, Brian, if you're here to see me, sit down. If you're here to see my hair, it's over there on the on the counter. with her cancer, she lost all her hair and she had wigs. Wow. I remember the story trying to find silver linings or rainbows. There were two men that were being robbed of their money. So while they're being robbed, you know, getting their money out, then one of the guys that was being robbed said, oh, robber, Mr. Robber, wait, just a minute. And so one of the guys that was being robbed, he got his wallet out, and he says, here, buddy, here's the $20 I owe you. So now I got that one debt paid. Oh, every cloud is a silver lining, a rainbow. Back in 1979, when my dad passed away, Louis Karkowski preached a message of joy at my dad's funeral. I'm going to close with this. Message of joy. He took four questions that are asked in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And he used these four questions for his funeral sermon, for the funeral sermon for my dad. In verse 31, the question is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Silver lining, rainbow. The next question that Brother Karkowski, and he was the preacher there in Muskegon when we were kids. He moved away, but Mom asked him to come back and preach my dad's funeral. But in verse 33, the second question that he emphasized was, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The third question was in verse 34. Who is he that condemns? The last question was in verse 35. There are more questions than these four, but these are the four that Brother Karkowski emphasized at my dad's funeral. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, so no matter what the situation we have in life, we need to find or look for that rainbow or the silver lining. Otherwise, we will be overwhelmed in our grief. It will smother us. If we lose hope, if we don't see a way out, if we don't see the daylight
after the darkest hour. It'll defeat us. So we need, that's one reason why we are encouraged to assemble together, not only to give our worship, but as the Hebrew writer said, to encourage or exhort, provoke one another to love and good works. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the way that we do that is by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So there's a blessing, a rainbow, a silver lining, even in assembly. When we make our announcements about troubles or trials or hardships, it gives us an opportunity to lift up those who are fallen or to encourage those who are weak once we know about the situation that exists. You see, that's that silver lining. That's that rainbow that we can help with in the lives of one another. So that's the lesson. Clouds with a silver lining. Always at the close of a lesson, there's another silver lining, a rainbow. Those who are troubled on every side, sin sick, we have an opportunity to have sins forgiven. We have opportunity to be born again and get on God's side. We have opportunity to have the hope of heaven instilled within us and have that assurance of faith. We can sing a song of blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If you're subject to that, if you haven't been baptized for remission of sins, you've heard the good news message, if you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around, confess your faith, and be baptized. From that point on, begin to walk in newness of life and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's stand together, sing the song of the day.